All right, we're recording, that's great. All right, I was reading a little article the other day, and I thought I'd read it to you because I thought it was interesting, and it sort of goes in with what I want to share with you today. And it's about a man called Ian Lewis. Ian Lewis was 43 years old, and he's from Standish in Lancashire. Some of you may know where Lancashire is, or even Standish is, in England. And he was interested in finding out about his family. Now, I was talking to Kim and Ian about this just before. This is interesting. He spent 30 years tracing his family tree back to the 17th century. He traveled all over Great Britain. He talked to over 2,000 relatives and planned to write a book about how his great-grandfather left to seek his fortune in Russia and how his grandfather was expelled after the Russian Revolution. Quite a history, really. And it says, then after spending all that time and money, he found out that he had been adopted when he was a month old and his real name was David Thornton. I guess he would have found that very frustrating. Now, that's not to say anything about people who've been adopted, thank God, because we've all been adopted into God's family. But the point that I wanted to pick up from that was this, that every day we get reports. I know I do. I mean, I get emails from all over the place. I get an average of about 70 to 80 emails a day, sometimes more, sometimes less, usually about 70 or 80 emails. A lot of them from New Guinea, obviously. I get a lot from Philippines. I get some usually from America and Great Britain and, of course, all around Australia. And many of those are ones that I just can either delete or pass on. Some of them are jokes, etc. But some of them are really serious emails and people have really serious problems. And normally when I respond to those, I ask them this kind of question. Do you believe what is being told to you? In other words, do you believe the report that you've been given or do you believe what the Word of God says? And that's really what I want to talk to you about tonight. Whose report do you believe? Do you believe the report of the Lord or do you believe what's happening around? Because as I say, every day we get reports of bombings in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it is. All these things are happening and it's just happening right now. You know what I mean? Right at this very moment, if you were sitting in your lounge room, you could be watching a war somewhere in another part of the world. I mean, the reporters are on the front line. I mean, they're right there, bullets flying around their head. They're there, and you're seeing it happen. Someone sent me an email this past week, and it was rather gross. And it was about wasn't about a war, but it was about an accident that happened. A young man was driving his car and he began texting someone while he's driving his car and he ran into a truck. The truck ran over the top and there was about this much of his car left, and some of the photographs that were included in the email were gross to say the least because he was ripped in two from the waist. One half of him from the head to the waist was over here and the other half with his legs and part of his intestines hanging out was on the other side of the road. Serious. I know what an accident's like. I've had a major accident. And I know some others have too. So the point is this, to look at that, it's like you're right there. You can see the whole scene. Very difficult and very gross, as I said before. But you see, we have to be people who are going to believe what God says, irrespective of what we see. Irrespective of what, like I think about this guy, whose real name was David Thornton. He spent all of that money and he got reports from 2,000 relatives around the world only to find they were all wrong. Every report that he got was wrong. I wonder how many reports you've got this week from friends and neighbors, from doctors, from your bank, whoever. Everyone is getting reports from somebody and you know I got news for you. Every one of them is wrong according to the Word of God. So we have to make a choice. Who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the reports that the devil, the world, our friends, our neighbors, and so forth send in? Or are we going to believe the Word of God? We have to believe the Word because it's the only truth. And Jesus said, if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. The reports that the world send in don't set you free. Because the report that the doctor says, well, you know, you've got 3 months to live. So that's not a good report. But if you take that on board, guess what? 3 months, you'll be looking at moving out of here, going somewhere else. And if you're saved, that's okay. But if you're not, you're in trouble. But see, every day of your life from infancy, like here's little Esther having her evening meal here. From infancy right up to adulthood. And I keep looking at Keith because Keith's the oldest member we have here. But all the way from Esther right up to, we've all had to make decisions. You've made decisions today, whether you realize it or not. You decided to get up this morning. Mark decided that he would have a shower this morning. He decided I'll put on this pink shirt and this top and these pants. He made decisions today. Every one of us have made decisions today. And they've brought you to where you are right now. You will follow the decisions that you make. Your life goes in the direction of those decisions. I know with some of the men it doesn't matter so much, but with the ladies that's more important, the decisions that they make, because they want to look nice and smell nice and do all those things, and that's good, because we as the men appreciate that. So we need to be people then who are making the right decisions and going in the right direction. I wonder if you remember, of course, I don't know if we've sung it here or not, but we have sung it somewhere. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. I like the next line. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. We people who live in victory. We've got to start believing the report of the Lord. Not believing what our circumstances tell us. Not believing what our bodies necessarily tell us. Not believing what all these other people tell us. But I want you to know that statement, we shall believe the report of the Lord, that's our statement from Family Faith Center. That's what we believe here. And if you're coming along here, then I want you to come to that place where you are going to believe that also. Now, just by way of introduction, let's go into a scripture in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49. Just one little verse I want to pull out for you. Jeremiah 49. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible because it just says something that caught my attention. Jeremiah 49, verse 14. Amplified Bible. I have heard a report from the Lord, Jeremiah says, and a messenger is sent to the nation saying, gather together and come against her and rise up for the battle. I have heard a report from the Lord. I'm going to say it again because some of you need to hear this. I have heard a report from the Lord. What report have you had today or yesterday or this week or this month or even this year that is a bad report? I was speaking with David D. before, and David was up in his home part of the world up around Bendigo and up there, and I have a cousin who lives up there and her husband, and he just advised me, I haven't seen my cousin and her husband for some time, but David just advised me that he was talking to them and found out that they have both been diagnosed with cancer. That means we're going to have to make a trip to the Bendigo area or up there to see our friends and pray for them. They have made decisions, but they're not being fed the Word of God. They go to a church, but they're not being fed the uncompromised word that's going to keep them healthy. So we're going to have to do a trip, and I'm trying to get Ian and Kim to go up there and do that. Save me a jaunt all up there. They have reason to be in that part of the world. But if it's a bad medical report, or a bad finance report from your bank, or even a bad relationship report from some counselor or other that you may be attending, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe all those things, or are you going to believe the Word of God? What does God say about your situation? When the report is bad, what does God have to say? God has no bad news. It's always good news. His news is always good news. In fact, the gospel is called good news. I wonder what circumstances may have discouraged you to the point where you're thinking of giving up the fight. I mean, there may be some of you wives or some of you husbands, who works both ways, believing God for your husband or your wife to change, to be saved, to be healed, to be something else, whatever. And you may just have come to that place where you're going to give up on them. What about your children or your grandchildren? it's important that we understand that we don't give up the fight. The words that have been spoken to you may have brought dread and fear into your life. The words of the devil will bring fear, but the words of God will bring life and health and wholeness and blessing. Now, Elizabeth and I, now married 46 years this year, there's a word that we have not liked over the years, and the word was divorce. And if you've gone through that situation, this is not in any way to hurt you, but we have had difficulties over the years with that particular word, and particularly with Christians and churches who just give up and refuse to fast and pray and believe God. They just say, well, it's not worth the effort. Let's take the easy way. Let's get out of this situation. Let's get out of this divorce. And they refuse to fast and pray for their spouses or for their prodigal children or whatever it is. When I was unsaved and working in the clubs and pubs, as you all know, Elizabeth stuck in prayer. She just got a hold of, as they say, the horns of the altar. That's just a phrase. She just got a hold of God, really, and she cried out to God, and she prayed and asked God for my salvation and refused to give up until I got saved. Now, she could have given up at any time, but to her credit, she stayed steadfast in prayer. She persevered, even when it looked bad and when things were not good on my side of the case. But she just prayed and believed God, and God wrought the miracle. And here we are doing what we're doing today because she wouldn't give up. Now, you have to realize that if she had given up, you wouldn't be listening to me. We wouldn't have had literally tens of thousands of CDs gone around the world. We wouldn't have all the books and manuals that I've been able to write and the anointing of God and all of those things that have helped people across the world simply because she refused to give up. So can I say this to you wives? Don't give up on your husbands. Can I say this to you husbands? Don't give up on your wives. Because God has a plan. He said, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and an expected end. Do you realize that the report of God, the word of God, is bigger than cancer? It's bigger than diabetes. It's bigger than divorce. It's bigger than drug or alcohol addiction. The word of God is greater. The report that God has is greater than all of those situations. So don't give up. Just believe God's report and keep speaking it out of your mouth. Do you realize when you start saying the word of God that that's going back to God? You know, well, let me read it to you. Isaiah chapter 55. Listen to what it says. Isaiah 55. Go down to about verse, let's read. Well, we read several verses. Verse 6. Listen to this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Is he near? Okay, well, you felt his presence today because of the anointing. And there was a very powerful anointing in the meeting last week. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Then verse 8, Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Now, I've explained that to you before, but I'm saying it again for the benefit of anyone who didn't hear or didn't listen. When he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, he's referring to the previous verse where he says, the unrighteous man, his thoughts. So what he's saying is, unrighteous man, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And then he goes on and says to the other man, one is unrighteous and the wicked, he says, wicked man, my ways are not your ways. Do you understand all of that? Okay. Then he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's talking to the wicked and the unrighteous. He's not talking about us. Why? Because we are the righteous of God. Then he says, verse 10, for as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, important, seed to the sower. If you're a sower, God will give you seed. If you're not a sower, he won't give you seed. And by the way, God has been speaking to somebody here today about giving. I don't know to whom he's speaking, and I don't know to whom he's talking about giving to. Okay, does that sound good English? In other words, God's been speaking to someone about giving something to someone, whether that's the church, I don't know, church or to another person, and you need to listen to God and do what he's telling you. And he's not talking about $10, by the way. Last time I said that, there was a couple here, and I said, God may be telling you to give Tony and Jenny $1,000. And that man brought out an envelope after the service and said, God told me to give this to Tony and Jenny, and he had $1,000 in. And I only confirmed it by saying it. And they'll tell you the story too. That's when they, you know, we were taking up offerings for the fire and so forth. Then he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void or empty, is what that means. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God says, my word is not going to come back to me empty. How's it going to get back to him? Out of your mouth. This is what your prayer is all about. So prayer and fasting, you get that word back to the presence of God again. You speak the word back to God. And what you're really doing is you're saying, God, this is what you said. This is your promise. Now you've got to make it good because you promised. Now if any of you have children, and I know some of you have because I've had children too, and I can't say they're children anymore because they're all grown. We now have grandchildren. But if you make a promise to your child, guess what's going to happen? Someday, after you've made the promise, they're going to come along and say, but Dad, you promised. You can go to God and say, but Dad, you promised. You promised if I asked in faith and believed it, I'd have it. I'm asking, I'm in faith, and I believe I receive it. So you pray for your wayward children, wayward grandchildren, your husband or your wife, and you remind God of his promises and you believe his report. How many of you remember when the children of Israel were sent out by God and he told them to go in and receive the promised land? He'd already given it to them. All they had to do was go take it. But guess what happened? As they went out, they used God's power to fight the battles. There were still giants there. You know the whole story. Joshua and Caleb and 10 others go out at Moses' direction to go out, spy the land. They go out all over the top of the mountain ranges and down through the land, and they look everywhere and they say, this is a good land, the fruit is great. They brought back bunches of grapes, 2 men carrying one bunch of grapes on a big pole. I mean, they were grapes. They're probably the size of oranges or bigger. I mean, they were big grapes. They said, we have the proof. It is a good land. It's exactly what God said it is. But there are giants in the land. And we are as grasshoppers in our sight and in their sight. See, the difficulty was the 10 who came back made a negative report. 2 came back and made a positive report. If you read in the book of Numbers, it says an evil report and a good report. It's a negative report and a positive report. And so the 10 came back and said, we can't because. 2 came back and said, well, we can because God said we can. And so they were faced with this situation. When Moses sent them out, this is what it says, Joshua 14, verse 8. In the New Living Testament, Joshua says this. Listen to this. When I read this, it made me smile. Joshua said, New Living Testament, Joshua 14, verse 8. I returned and gave from my heart a good report, Joshua said. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people and discouraged them from entering the promised land. Frightened the people and discouraged them from entering the promised land. And all this happened just days after. I mean, days after they've been delivered from Pharaoh's mighty army and they've seen the armies of Egypt go under the waters of the Red Sea. They've seen the people disappear, the chariots disappear. They're all washed away. But the people still chose to believe the report of the 10, and who said, we are as grasshoppers in our sight and in their sight. Do you realize the reports? There is a report which says it's good. There is a report which says it's bad. They chose the bad report. because of what they could see and what they heard. What about your report? What has the doctor said to you? Has the doctor said you have cancer? That's a bad report. God has a good report. He says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed of cancer. So whose report are you going to believe? Let's go back to the children of Israel. Because of their fear and disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, from the day that they brought the report back until they stood and could have stepped into the promised land, it was 10 days. A journey of 10 days, and they took 40 years because they believed the wrong report. What happened? God had to let, now listen to me, all the negative, unbelieving generation all die off during those 40 years. 40 years is a generation. So for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness. Here they are, wandering, wondering, when are we ever going to get there? But they just kept moving around, and a few would die off, and eventually all the old generation died off. Only two from that old generation got into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The two who said, yes, we can. All the others who said no died. Now, there's a lot of good stories in that 40-year journey if you want to study it sometime. But 300,000 of them all got swept into a big earthquake one time because they were very disobedient. And you can read all those stories, and they're so wonderful. But you see, people today have what I call a grasshopper mentality. You know, well, I can't go to university because nobody in my family has ever gone to university. Rubbish. That's a bad report. You don't want to believe that. Well, I'll never be able to start my own business because I don't have the money. Do you realize you don't need money to start a business? You need a word from God. God said He will give you insight into witty inventions. Think about it now. Others say, well, I can't get healed because maybe I'm not good enough. I don't deserve to be healed. And other people say things, well, God can't bless me because I've done so many terrible, awful, rotten things in my life. And there's no way God, of course He can bless you. Jesus came to die for you. He didn't come to die for all the righteous people. He came to die for all of us who were sinners. And He forgave us. And so we are good enough. We are good enough. I'm going to say it again. We are. Say that with me. I am good enough. Praise the Lord. I trust you believe that. So the people looking for the promised land, they gave up before they received what God had for them, and they all died out in the wilderness. And the same thing is happening with many Christians today. They give up just about the time when God is about to deliver the goods to them, whatever it is they've been looking for, whatever they've been believing for, that husband to be saved, that wife to be saved, that grandchild to be brought in, that son, that daughter to be brought back from drugs or alcohol, just about to do it, and they say, well, I guess it didn't work. And they start believing the negative report again. But so-and-so said this. But the doctor said this. But the counselor said this. Whose report are you going to believe today? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Or are you going to believe the negative words from the evil one who's trying to keep you out of all that God has for you and your family? I want you to be at a place where you never ever doubt that God is on your side, that you are in His family. I want you to never ever doubt that God is able to do the things that you desire Him to do. But you have to choose to believe and to trust the report of God. This is why today I want you to read the Word of God and meditate on it every day. Because this is the report. What does Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 tell us? Let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Now you know the scripture, I'm sure, that God is able to do. Now listen to this from the Amplified Bible. It says, now to Him. That's Him up here. Now to Him who, by and consequence of all the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and to do superabundantly, far above all that we dare ask, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Can anybody dream good? All right. Well, God is able to do much more than you can dream. And I know some of you are good dreamers. You've got dreams and visions and ideas you want to do. But God wants to do more than you want Him to do. You need to understand that. God wants to do more, but He can't because of you. While you still remain negative, while you still keep all that negative thinking, He's not able to do it. See, the words that we speak contain power. And if you're like me, you're saying words a lot every day, and I talk to you guys, and I know what you've all got something to say, and we say lots of things, and you know, after a while we forget the things we say. We don't actually remember the words that we say. I guess if somehow or other God has some super-duper computer, a heavenly computer, I guess, and He records all the words that we say, and one day He may play them all back to us and say, well, you said this, and you said that, and you said... I hope not. Take a look at Mark chapter 5 with me. Gospel of St. Mark, the 5th chapter. Now, you know this story. We're just going to pick up a few bits and pieces here and there. In Mark chapter 5, go down to verse 21. And it's a story about Jairus. And I want to show you something in this. We're just going to read verse 21, 22, 23, and 24 at this point. Mark 5:21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and he saw Him, and he fell at His feet, and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. That's a good statement. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed Him and thronged Him. In other words, there's a lot of people following, and they're all trying to get in close and get close to Jesus. Jairus comes to tell him that the little daughter is sick and she's on the point of death. Now that will get to anyone's heart, particularly a father's heart. And what happens is that his story and his impassioned plea that he makes to Jesus causes Jesus to go with him. I'm going to say it again. He causes Jesus to go with him. Remember that word, go. But as he's on the way, something happens. There's a little woman who has a need as well. And she causes Jesus to stop on his way to minister to Jairus' daughter. And so here's this woman with the issue of blood, and you know the story. And she came in and touched the hem of his garment and so on. And he stops and he's ministering to her. And suddenly, while he's ministering, there comes, let's go down to verse 35 in the story. Verse 35, while he yet speak, and he's just spoken to the lady and said, Daughter, your faith has made you whole. He's ministered to her. While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any more? So here's a report coming in that Jairus is now faced with, Do I believe this report? My daughter's already dead. It's too late. Will I just tell Jesus to go on about his business? Let me go home and bury my daughter. See, report. What am I going to believe? Am I going to believe what Jesus has said at other times and what I know of him? Or am I going to believe this report that says the daughter is dead? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to Jairus, or to the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Now listen to the Amplified Bible. Listen to this. In the Amplified Bible, verse 36. Overhearing, but ignoring what they said. I'm going to say it again. Overhearing, but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. So here's Jairus. Your daughter is dead. Don't believe that report. But my daughter is dead. Don't believe that report. The daughter is dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Don't believe that report. Keep on believing. Doctor says you have cancer. Don't believe that report. Doctor says it's not going to work. Don't believe that report. Jairus could have chosen to believe the report of the servant, but instead he chose to believe the report that Jesus gave him. He gave him a report of faith, of hope. He believed the word of God. Jesus is the word. We have to choose to believe the word of God. So he held on to the very last minute, and his little daughter was raised back to life again. What a wonderful story. I mean, just because he believed. What negative report have you been told is breaking your heart? You know, about your child or your grandchild or your husband, your wife, or whatever it is. I mean, we're getting all these reports all the time. They're all so negative, coming in from every quarter to us, because the devil wants to kill you. He wants to keep you away from the word of God. Jesus told us, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his whole purpose. And if he can keep you away from the word of God, then he's winning the battle. But he's already been defeated. We need to believe the word of God. So tonight, can I ask you, will you hold on like Jairus and believe the report of the Lord? Or are you going to believe the circumstances and the reports of those around about you? Are you going to believe what the bank manager's saying when he sends, you know, a note back to you and say, well, you don't have enough funds to cover this check or whatever? Now, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God, or are you going to believe what the devil's doing in the world? See, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You just have to get a hold of this, and I'm not stopping until you get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. While we look not at the negative report, which is what you can see, but at the things which you can't see, which is the positive report of the word of God. He says, because the things you can see, that negative report, it's only temporary. But the thing that you can't see, why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we believe the report by faith, and we receive what he says. We do as the scripture declares. I'm not going to look at that which is temporary. The sickness is temporary. The cancer is temporary. The diabetes is temporary. The prostate problem, all that is all temporary. We have to believe the report of God, which says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, we were healed. Now, I just feel I want to take you to another little story in the Bible, because we're trying to build this for you. Go back to Mark's Gospel again and go to chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Go down to verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. Story of a blind man, blind Bartimaeus. And it says, verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, including blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the wayside begging. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried all the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. See, if you cry to God, and you cry sincerely and in faith, you'll cause him to stop and listen to what you have to say. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, Be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now I want to stop there for a moment. This man, blind Bartimaeus, somewhere along the line he'd heard about this Jesus. Somebody might have said to him, well, if you can only get to one of Jesus' healing meetings, you know, there's a chance you can be healed, because he's healed other blind people. There's a precedent that he's done it before, and he could do it again. But when he comes along and he starts crying out loudly, the people around him say, shut up, don't make a fuss, don't make all this to-do, keep quiet, you're going to upset the procession. You're just not going to get anywhere with all of this. You're too noisy. And this is a religious meeting, so we have to be nice and calm and quiet. And in fact, I would go so far as to say some of them probably said to Bartimaeus, if you just behave yourself, I'll put some more money in your little cup. In other words, they tried to buy him, perhaps. I'm adding this to it, all right? And I know it says don't add or take away. But you can imagine what people would have done. Maybe some of them said, well, if you're really, really good and don't cry out too much, I'll come back and I'll take you out to dinner. We'll do something to help you. Just be quiet. But, you see, Bartimaeus couldn't be bought. He had already determined in his heart that his eyes were going to be opened and he was going to be able to see. So defying all of the people that were around him, he just refused to listen to them. The Bible says he cried out all the more. I mean, he got noisier, louder, and he caused Jesus to stop on his journey because he believed the reports that he'd heard about Jesus. See, all of you have heard reports about Jesus. Every one of you in this room tonight, everyone who listens to this CD at some future time, you've all heard reports about Jesus. But not everybody believes him. Well, I know that so-and-so's cancer was healed, but I don't know whether, you know, that would happen for me or not. Well, I know so-and-so's grandchild was healed and that was a terrible disease they had, but, well, I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not good enough. All of these negative thoughts come in. All of these negative reports come in that want to discourage us. They're all reports of opposition to the Word of God. They're all reports that want to keep us away from our quest to receive what it is we want. Now, everybody in this place is looking for something from God. There's nobody here tonight that doesn't have a need. But everybody in this place, your need has already been met in Christ. All you have to do is receive it. Start believing the report of the Lord. Don't believe the report of the enemy. Just realize that your decisions and your view of life, listen to me now, will be influenced by the people that you associate with outside of this room. See, you can come here on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night and get a faith injection. But the people that you spend time with at work, the people that you talk to, members of your family, your neighbors, they're the ones who are bringing all the negative reports in. So you've got to make a choice. Am I going to believe all that stuff or am I going to believe the Word of God? Am I going to believe God's report? Kenneth Hagin said, if you hang around with a dog long enough, you're going to get fleas. You hang around with negative people, you're going to become negative. You're going to become like them. So let me ask you the question. Whose report will you believe tonight? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree before you right now that we are going to believe your report. We're going to take your word above the word of everyone else. Doesn't matter what the doctor or the bank manager or the lawyer or the tax department or anybody else has to say, we are for you. We are taking your word above the word of every other person, every other group, every other person that may want to turn us away from your word. Father, even members of our family who say they love you, but they're trying to turn us away from the word that we know to be true. So, Father, tonight we make a declaration before you. We are going to take your report. I want all of you to say this with me. I'm going to take the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am in victory for the rest of my life on this earth. In Jesus' name, I believe it. Amen. Now you've made a statement and God's going to hold you responsible for your words. Praise the Lord. Ian, come and finish off for us tonight, please.
Praise the Lord, you're blessed. Wasn't that good? Amen. It's true. My dad taught me that a long time ago when I was a teenager. He said, power of association is a great thing. He says, like Ken Hayes, if you hang around a dog, you get its fleas. And so power of association is a powerful thing. You may think, oh no, I'm the strong person. I can't be influenced. Association, just day after day with those people, hearing what they believe. And unless you are a very strong person, have your heart grounded and rooted in the Word of God, your views can be changed. All of a sudden you find yourself agreeing. And silence is a form of agreement if you don't speak out. And so it's good to associate with Word people and listen to and hear amen. And then you're of like mind, of like spirit. And so that's why we fellowship together. Praise the Lord. Have you got your notices? Let's go through those today, guys. So today's verse, Proverbs 6:2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. And that's very, very true. As you've been hearing, we need to say the right things, believe the right report, and then confess the right things. Life's lessons today, a positive faith-filled confession will keep you free from failure. Amen? You've heard Naomi say that your words are containers, and they are. Your words are containers, and they're either faith-filled or they're fear-filled. But when you speak something out, your words have power, and they're either filled with faith or they're filled with fear. They're either positive or the negative. And so you need to be careful of what we say there, amen? Don't forget, next Sunday we're here, as you know, Wednesday night, of course, week 4 in our healing school. That's been a wonderful series. Are you missing out if you're not there? If you can be there, please be there and enjoy. Inside, there's a great study here. It says, have you an invincible faith? So praise God. That's a really good one to go down through. It talks about having invincible faith. And it goes all the way down and finishes on the scripture here, Revelation 3:21, where the Lord says, to him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Amen. So we need to overcome. As the word says, to whom overcomes, he's the one, she's the one, they're the ones who are going to be granted to sit. So praise God, we need to be overcomers. So we need to not give up. We need to stick at it. Amen. Regardless of what the reports say, you know, regardless of how real the reports are, let me encourage you, regardless of how real the reports are, reports can be very, very real. A word from some area can be very, very real. A doctor's report is pretty tangible, isn't it? An x-ray is pretty tangible. That's a pretty strong report. Look, here's the x-ray. That's what the x-ray says. But guess what? That is a fact, but it's not the fact. It is a truth, but it's not the truth. So you can say, I acknowledge that that's there, but guess what? I believe the Word of God over and above that, amen? So these things can be real, but don't be put off by them. I always remind myself, when you see something come in or there's something that has to be dealt with very urgently, a matter of priority, you realise that matter that you see was made by the Spirit. And the Spirit is greater when we believe that, amen? So the tangible things that we see here, the natural things, were made from the Spirit, the things that do not appear, so therefore they're stronger. So we don't give weight to those natural things, amen? We give weight to the Spirit, amen, and the Word of God, which is the truth. So encourage you, good little study, go down through that, you'll be blessed, and let's all aim to have that invincible faith, which we've been given, amen? We've all been given the gift. Praise God. We've got our little notice here that you can see. The mixed breakfast is coming up, so everybody gets a cooked breakfast this month. Not just the men. So we've got a big time family breakfast, a mixed breakfast coming up at Wandong on the 15th. That's at the Australiana Hotel up there on a Saturday morning. So it's for everybody, for ladies, for men, for the children. Under 12 is free. So if you've got grandkids who want to come along, if they're under 12, they're for free. There's no charge. There's going to be a full cooked breakfast. And the men have had breakfast there before, and it is a full breakfast. There is everything from... It went from fruit and yogurt to cereal to toast to a full bacon, eggs, sausages to, I think it was croissants or Danishes at the end and tea. And it was just massive. So it is a big breakfast. So please come along and fellowship with us there. That'll be on the 15th. We'll be up at Wandong. If you're coming to that, you need to see Mark here. Give him your $15 for the breakfast and just let him know if you're coming. And if you've got kids under 12, also let him know. Of course, they're free, as we said. That'll be a good time of fellowship. So everybody gets to be involved in that. We'll have breakfast, which will take us probably an hour or so to get through breakfast. There's going to be that much to eat. Then we're going to have a time of some testimonies. And Dad's going to share a quick word with us as well up there. So we'll have some time and fellowship after that. But as it says, we'll all be done by about 11:30 on the Saturday so you can get on home. So start to invite people. If people haven't been here before, say, hello, why don't you come have breakfast with us? Why don't you pay for them and bring them along and bless them. We'll have some fellowship there. On the back, of course, our little funny, which you can read there. The pastor's sitting at the doctor's desk there, and the doctor's saying, what? You've got pulpit elbow. That's from leaning on the pulpit too much and preaching. So there's a little bit of a preaching joke there in that one. So encourage you to share that with people and you'll be blessed. Don't forget also at the back, there is last week's CD from Anzac Day. So that's the message there. You can get that for $2. Don't forget our invitations. The business cards there. Grab some of those. The invitations on the back. Use one of those to invite some folks along to be blessed. And there's a whole set of CDs up there. There's quite a few of them. This one's What You Say Is What You Get. That's a 4-CD series. If you haven't listened to these, please. I was telling Elise last week, I was saying to her, love, when you do homework, when you have to sit and study and go through all that, it's not for my benefit. I've had my day of studying, and I still have to study and learn. But I said, when you do that, you're investing in yourself. Invest in yourself. I said, as you move through life, the more you invest in yourself, the greater opportunities you'll have, the more you'll be ready. So when you study and you go through it and you go through it and you're tired, but you're prepared, guess what? You've invested in yourself. When you pass with the big marks, when you have success in your faith, then you benefit. So invest in yourself. And so that's part of what these teaching and the training is up there. Invest in yourself. Get the word in, and so they're up there, so I encourage you to get involved. You know, there's many of those. That's a particularly good series, but there's many up there. Praise the Lord. All right, the best part, tithes and offerings, amen? Praise God, going to bring those in. Mark, brother, let me get you to come in. And Sam, if you want to come in, I saw it on the spot. That'd be great. Come and take that up. Praise God. God is a good God, amen? Is he well able? But is he well able for you? Amen. He's well able for us. Praise God. Remember, as Dad's talking, he was talking through about Joshua there, and it reminded me, I was reading, I'd highlighted some things here, where the Lord's giving Joshua the instructions. And the Lord says to Joshua that I will not fail you and I will not forsake you. Amen? It's in the first, that's Joshua 1, verse 5. So the Lord's there for us. He won't fail us and he won't forsake us. Amen? And a lot of people, believe, oh, the Lord's a good God, but is he a good God for you? That's the difference. Is he a good God for you? Yes, he is my good God. As Dad was talking, it's personal, isn't it, amen? Everything is personal. The Lord wants the best for you, and he's able to do it. And so each day, you remind yourself that. The Lord is well and able to do it, and he won't forsake us, amen? Let's bow our heads and let's just commit these offerings to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessed word, Father. Thank you, Lord, that the word is real and lives big in our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Father, that the word of God can change every circumstance. Father, as we line up our confession, as we line up our belief and believe exactly what the word says and return to you the words that you've said, it will change the situation. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing in this word. There is no name, there is no situation, there is no report that can't be changed in the physical by the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. Father, we just thank you for it. We praise you for it. We confess that we are good givers, that we are good confessors, that we believe the Word of God, Father. The people here are of one mind and of one heart. And Father, as you said in the early parts of the Old Testament, that when those people are together and one heart and one mind, there's nothing that would be withheld from them. They could do it. That's when they were building the Tower of Babel, Father. So we are of one mind. We're a people of faith. We believe it. We believe the word. We thank you, Father. We believe the word so much that we're prepared to bring our tithes and offerings to you, and we commit them to you, Father, because you are our source and our supply. So, Father, we receive today a harvest on what's been given. Father, we receive the benefits of our relationship, the benefits of our covenant. We speak to money and we speak to you in Jesus' name. And money, we say, come into these people's hands in Jesus' name. Come into every area where finance is needed. You meet those needs in Jesus' name. And Father, we just praise you for it. Angels, we remind you, according to Hebrews 1:14, that you are there to minister unto the heirs of salvation. We are the heirs of salvation because we are saved. So angels, we charge you in Jesus' name to go out and bring the harvest into our hands in Jesus' mighty name. And Father God, we praise you for it. And we thank you for it, and we just bless your mighty name, and we look forward to the good reports as the harvest come in this week. So bless you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right, praise God. Well, you are blessed. Don't forget the book table. Get your invest in yourself and get your invitations. And please invite some more people to that breakfast. That'll be good. Let's have a cup of fellowship and be blessed.